Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Chicago's Afternoon News, 720 WGN. Thank you for your text messages. 630 said, will Chicago Cub fans ever be able to watch them on TV again without having Marquee Network? I'm so disappointed I haven't been able to see them. That's probably not going to happen, is it, Kevin? Because don't the Cubs own the Marquee Network?
Correct.
Okay, so no, you got to get a package.
I believe
that
they're on YouTube now. A YouTube channel and all that. So there are different ways, but Marquee is your best option there.
630 said Madrigal is not good defensively.
He's still very early in his career. But yeah, early indications say he hasn't been overly great in the field. But give the man some time.
Are you still paying student loans, Kevin?
I haven't been.
Oh, well, oh, that's right, because you get a break.
Nobody's been for a long, 2 years now?
Yeah, people are talking about that being extended in 773.
Extended like another 10 years or so.
Regarding parents paying for education, we should not have to. No choice due to the cost of education rising exponentially. So, yeah, parents make sacrifices to pay and take out parent plus loans in addition to student loans. So now, as a parent in my 60s, I can't even travel. No money, old cars. Who will pay for my health care? Biden increased the cost of pharmaceuticals by double. So it looks like he's going to give a pause to student loan payments again. 815, Lisa, don't you think the question should be, why are these colleges charging so much? Let's compare education required to the starting salaries of these degrees. Example, MSP, a social worker, starting salary is $60,000 to $65,000 a year with 6 years of college. Maybe someone should ask Megan Kay how much she makes. Megan Kelly was calling them all snot-nosed kids and didn't think that they needed another break or a pause on student loan payments. I know my kid wanted to be a paleontologist from the time he was little. And it was going to be 6 to 8 years of college, and he was going to get out and make $60,000 a year. And he's like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that. Okay, be a teacher. Rick DeMaio knows something about education. Every Tuesday, we usually have Tom Skilling on. He's in Alaska. Mm-hmm. It's sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. But yeah, you're here, Rick. It's so nice that you're joining us.
You know what, Lisa, it's amazing when you talk about student loans, and I've been teaching now at the college level for about 15 years, and I have definitely noticed over the last 5 years, more and more when kids get into their senior year, you can see this look on this face like they're happy that they're graduating, but they're unhappy that they now have basically life pointing them right in the face and saying, you need a job, you need to pay off your loan. It's daunting. And I think it adds a lot of undue stress to those last 2 to 3 months of a college experience that would otherwise be a lot happier.
Yeah, absolutely. Rick DeMaio is the professor of aviation meteorology. Did I get that right at Lewis University?
Yep. And also climate change up at Loyola. So I see both sides of it. You know, oftentimes you look at kids going into aviation, and a couple of years ago, the job market was terrible, and all of a sudden it's turned around. Whereas you get into maybe a school like Loyola where you're doing business or finance, and usually there's always a job, but if you had a job maybe pointed into environmental science 3 or 4 years ago, it was looking terrible. Different administration in the White House, things all of a sudden look better. And, you know, you don't really want kids to think about that when they're going for something that they love. I always say, do what you love, let the chips fall where they may. And, you know, we all go through, you know, different life experiences. I've been there. You've been there, Lisa. As long as you're doing something that you're happy, it'll make all the difficult things a little bit easier to bear. I guess that's one way of saying it, right?
That is so true. That was a great piece of advice given to me when I was young. And there is truth to it. And that's what I try and impart with my son. Just be happy. Find a job that you love, and it will bring joy to your life. Because guess what? We're all working. Pretty much till the day we die.
Yeah, pretty much. And we got a lot of weather to talk about. I know you got a bunch of things you want to ask me, so go ahead and fire away, Lisa.
Well, first of all, you brought it up about the climate change, and the UN came out with a climate report and said the globe is on, quote, track toward an unlivable world, unquote.
Yeah, and this was actually the third report from the IPCC, and I follow this stuff because my students at Loyola are going to be doing their projects on international cities coming up here in the next couple of weeks. So there's three different reports from the IPCC. IPCC stands for the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. That was put together in 1988 by the UN and also the World Meteorological Organization. It's interesting to note that under President Bush 1, we entered into the IPCC, and under President Bush 2, we actually developed a National Climate Assessment Review. Those are reports that are issued like every 4 years. The IPCC comes out with their report every 6 years. You know, back then, there was no politics involved. It was basically we needed to learn more about the science, we needed to learn what it was doing, and we needed to get a plan. So when you mentioned the report that just came out, the first one is what we call the physical science or the physical basis for the science. The second one, which came out in February, it comes out in three parts. The second one, which came out in February, is all about adaptation, mitigation, and vulnerability. It basically makes recommendations to people who develop policy so that the people who are on the other side of the policy can have some sort of framework on what to do. The third one, which just came out, I believe it was yesterday, is what's called the working group, and they're the ones that help people who help develop policy have more of an understanding of the science. Otherwise, if you just throw out one report, it really doesn't help a lot of people. So the amazing thing about what I get to do is I get to see this up front. I get to have students do climate change projects on Singapore, New Delhi, Vancouver, Tokyo, Rio, Cape Town. And then from that, you can learn not only about how climate is varying or not in certain parts of the world, it's certainly not the same everywhere, how those countries can or quite possibly adapt or mitigate, or in some areas do nothing at all. So again, I think years ago, Lisa, climate scientists kind of painted ourselves into a corner where we made one size fits all. The reason why we now have three reports is to make sure that everybody has what they need for their particular area and also for their particular economy as well. Not everybody is the United States of America.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Chicago's Afternoon News, 720 WGN. I'm Lisa Dent. Rick DeMaio is joining us. And Rick, we've got a clip from the UN panel on climate change. This is when the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called the report a litany of broken climate promises. Let's hear this, Brian. Mm-hmm.
Some government and business leaders are saying one thing but doing another. Simply put, they are lying. And the results will be catastrophic.
Yeah. So a lot of people listen to that. Yep. Some people go, oh, that's dramatic, or that's not going to be catastrophic. Mm-hmm. But as we know, our home insurance policies are getting higher and higher. And a lot of that is paying for weather disasters.
Yeah, and I you know, I teach this stuff. It's right down my alley. Since 1980, we've had 315 individual climate and weather-related disasters. And during that 42-year period, or 41, it's added up now to $2.156 trillion. That's a heck of a lot of money. A lot of it comes from increased insurance policies, or I should say premiums, which is, I guess, the same thing. More or less adaptation and mitigation, you know, paying for vulnerability. I mean, I live in Evanston, and I've seen what they've done with the Lee Street Beach area. I've seen what Northwestern had to do with their seawall because 2 years ago, you know, the lakes were about 20 to 25 inches higher due to the fact that the normal two-year period of the heavy rain was something that we've never seen before. Now, granted, those lakes are now down 15 to 20 inches because we've been in somewhat of a dry spell. But like with any insurance policy, do you cover yourself for the time that you don't need it, or do you cover yourself for the time that you might need it? And what we've begun to understand is that the climate warming over a long period of time, over a large area, will have regional effects. How they actually impact your particular area, you may not know until all of a sudden something happens like we had two Januaries ago where we had flooding rains and literally lost half the seawall, not only in Evanston, not only in the northwestern area. But remember that one little beachy area or beach part of Rogers Park, which literally lost the beachfront, and, you know, they had to basically fill it up with rocks. Now, people say, well, that's one little beach. well, what about the homes on that area or the condos that said, we have beachfront property, now you no longer have that. Does that mean the value of your property goes down? So you got to think about it also in the long term. It's really, really hard, Lisa, I think, to tell people that you need something right away for something that may not occur for another 60 or 80 years. And that's one of the dilemmas that climate scientists have more than ever.
Rick DeMaio teaches at Loyola, and he's the aviation meteorology professor at Lewis University. I know you when you were on TV as a meteorologist back in the day. And so when are we going to see a warm-up around here? I know you predicted last week that it would be mid-April, and I thought, oh, for sure he's a little off on that, but it's looking like you're right.
Well, let's put things into perspective right now. I'm looking at the map, Lisa. It's 62 right now in Chesterton, 61 in Valparaiso, 61 over in La Porte. You go about 15 miles to the west, it's 42 right now at Calumet Harbor. And those of us who live and work near the lakefront, when you were playing that clip earlier, I was thinking Lakeshore Drive. It was more like Lakeshore Fog. 38 degrees right now at Lake Forest. The lake water temperature is only 36 degrees. So anytime you get very low clouds and fog this time of the year, the lakefront always makes it so much colder. The good news is that we actually get into a warmer pattern around here beginning on Sunday. The bad news, today is Tuesday. So we'll be in the 50s inland today, the 50s inland tomorrow. Unfortunately for the Cubs home opener at Wrigley on Thursday, I'm looking at temperatures. I'm not kidding you, Lisa. Topping out at maybe 40 degrees, winds out of the west at about 20 miles per hour. If we get rain, it's not going to be enough to cancel the game. And, you know, sometimes when they have terrible weather on opening day, they have the next day to make that up. But because the baseball season is starting a little bit late this year, we actually play baseball at Wrigley this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And it's kind of funny. I was just looking at the Cubs website, and on Saturday against the Brewers, it's Knit Glove Koozie Day. So maybe it should be Knit Glove Koozie Day. I don't know what a koozie is.
That's
3 days.
Yeah.
Because you're probably going to need it, right?
Yeah, you're not going to need it. And I can't tell you how many home openers I've been to where I've literally been freezing, like shaking. And then you're going out and buying that overpriced sweatshirt and a hat and mittens. What's the opening forecast for the Sox? What do you think it's going to be like?
I was looking at that for next week. It does look like we warm up by Sunday in the 60s, by Monday probably in the mid-60s. Unfortunately, Tuesday, even though we get into the warm side of things, we also may get into the wet side of things. And I'm looking at the opening day schedule, and it shows 3 p.m. You know, the Sox have done this before. If it looks like they're going to get a steady rain late in the afternoon, they may move that up to 1 o'clock, if not maybe noon. But it does look like there's a chance of rain coming back at us next Tuesday. Now, granted, that's 7 days away, but it does look like we get into a wet pattern around here for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The good news is we warm up a little bit. The bad news is not a lot and not soon enough at this point.
Yeah. Hey, before I let you go, tell me about the plane pole that is benefiting Special Olympics.
Yeah, so this is at Lewis University. We have our own MD-80. We used to have a 737. We now have an MD-80. I think the MD-80 is a little bit heavier, so we need a few more people to pull it. So what we're doing is on April 30th, we have a plane pole. We basically have a bunch of people sign up. A lot of teams sign up. The money goes to Special Olympics. The details can be found at lewisuniversity.edu, or maybe you could be gracious enough to add some of that information to the WGN website. But the bottom line is people sign up. They pull the plane, depending on how far we pull it, depends on how money we raise for Special Olympics. And if you've ever seen people pull a plane, Lisa, there is nothing like it. It's pretty darn cool. It doesn't go very far. It doesn't go very fast. But you can see a lot of people gritting their teeth and slipping and sliding. Hopefully the ground will be dry on that day. That's my department at that point.
I love the pictures. I mean, because people are serious. They're like, we are pulling this plane. You can also register at IllinoisPlanePole.com. Hey, Rick, thank you so much. So today and tomorrow, what are we looking at weather-wise?
Okay, cloudy for the rest of the day. Rain comes in after about 7 or 8 o'clock tonight. Rain through early tomorrow morning, but they're getting right back into the mid-50s. So whatever you have inland today, you'll have inland again tomorrow. And then, unfortunately, during the day on Thursday, back into the upper 30s. And we could even see mid-30s with a little bit of rain mixed with snow on Friday. So we're going down by the end of the week, not accumulating snow. But if you're heading to Wrigley Field for Thursday and Friday, dress warmly, Lisa.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us on Chicago's Afternoon News.
Have a good day, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
Rick DeMaio, we're appreciative that he is a part of the show, filling in for Tom Skilling.